We begin the current daf in the Sukkah daf mem test. We begin three lines down for the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the previous daf, where the Mishnah introduced the process of the nischamayim. That is on with the tamid shel shachar in the morning, carbon tamid when they would bring every single day of the yom tov of Sukkahs. Together with the avoda, they would also do an additional avoda which wasn't done throughout the rest of the year, which is called nischamayim. They would pour the water libations. Now, part of that process is when they would finally draw the water from the shiloach, and then they would come up to the kebush. They would come to the left side, to the southwestern corner of the mizbeach. There were these two safom, these two buckets that they would pour in the water in one and the wine in the other one. Now, that's where our Gemara continues and explains that then where would it go? So it would go to the shisin, which took the libations down to the bottom. So there's a three rim machlokes now Gemara exactly what were these shisin and who made them. So Amar Rabba Baruch Hanan Rabbi Yechna, he says, Shisin, which were these cavities underneath the Mizbeach, which was opposite the place where they would pour the Nesachim, Misheshis Mevereshis Never, actually these cavities were created from the 6 days of creation. Shem, like it says a Pasuk in Shir HaShirim. And the Pasuk in Shir HaShirim is talking about the relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and the Jewish people, which is presented in the relationship between a man and a woman. Now, the entirety of the Pasuk is in Perek Zayin Pasuk Beis, which the Gemara will darshan it here in regards to the Nesachim and then the Amud Beis in other ways. So the Pasuk is, Mayafu Famayach Ban Olim Bas Nodiv. How beautiful are your footsteps in your shoes, O the daughter of the noble ones. Chamuchi Yerichayach, the concealed parts of your thigh, Kamoy Chaloim, are like jewels. Maisi De Oman, which are the handiwork of a craftsman. Now, in the context of this Pasuk, so that's the Mashal. Now, regarding the nimshal, what is the understanding of this metaphor? So the Gemara explains that chamuke is the term of sisre, of the concealed parts of your chayich, of your sides, which although it can mean thigh, which is also it's also used in the context of geometrical figures of being on the side. Kamoi chalom are like jewels, which maisi de aman, which are the handiwork of a craftsman. So the Gemara explains, this is what Rabbi Bachana in the name of Birchan is interpreting, Chamuki Yerichayich, what does it mean that the concealed parts of your sides? Elu Hashisin, this is a reference to the Shisin, which in the context of Yerichayich is because if we find the Mizbeach, it's actually called Mikra Aleph Yerich HaMizbeach, with the side of the Mizbeach. So on the side of the Mizbeach, there's something concealed there, which are the Shisin that go down, are Kamoi Chaloyim. Where the way it defines for this is shemuchulalim, which is related to the word the root of the ches lamed, that there have a cavity beyard not time and they go all the way down to the depths. Maisi de omen, what does the pasuk mean when it says that's the handiwork of a craftsman? So maisi de umenosish hakadosh baruch hu, this is the handiwork of the craftsmanship of hakadosh baruch hu, who he was the craftsman of the entire world from. And that's what this interpretation is saying, that they're from the sheishes mevereishes, because hakadosh baruch hu made the shisin and the mizbeach was built over that, and then they go all the way down to the depths of the world. Another source for the same idea, Tan Beri Bishmal, says in the first word in the Torah, bereishes, that in the beginning, so I'll take it voracious, don't read it that in the beginning, elabara shis. The way the word could be read is HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the shis, the hole, the cavities. And again, that's the same idea that these shisin that were there in Mizbeach, within the Nesachim, would pour down. And would go down all the way down to the depths of the world, which was something that was created by the 6 days of creation. Now the second opinion of the Gemara's Tais explains it's essentially the same as like Rabbi Yochanan just said, but the difference is that they hold that David HaMelech made it. Tanya, we're learning the Brisa, Rabbi Yisi Omer, Shisin Mechulalim. These cavities, they were hollow. The Yerdin Atahim, and they go all the way down to the depths. Shnem, like it says, the Pasuk in Yeshaya. Now, this Pasuk is, again, also a mushel between the Jewish people and Klal Yisrael. And this is what the prophet, this is in Yeshaya that he's saying, and the entirety of the Pasuk is, it's in Perek Hei, Pasuk Aleph and Beis, where it says, Ashira no liyadidi, that I will sing for my beloved, Shiras doidi lekarmai, the song of my beloved for his vineyard, Kerem hoyi liyadidi, there was a vineyard for my beloved, Bekeren ben Shaman, in a fatty corner, Vyaskeyu vayisaklehu, and that he encircled it, and that he took away the stones, Vyitu'ehu sayrik, and he planted the vines, Vyivin migdal betoich, and he built a tower inside of it, Vgam yekev chotzevbay, and he also carved inside of it a hole, which is generally what a wine press is. Ve'yikav lasis anovim, and he desired to make grapes. Ve'yas b'ushim, however, made a lower, inferior grade of what he wanted from these grapes. So now the Gemara explains that pasuk in the context of the shisim. It says in the pasuk, "Ashira no liyadidi," that I will sing for my beloved. This is what the Navi is saying. I will sing in place of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now, because of that I have to sing, it also comes to the complaints. In other words, I'm going to be singing the song that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sings, Shiras Doidi LeKarmoy, the song of my beloved in regards to his vineyard, which is a reference to the Jewish people, which is Kerem HaLiyadidi. There's a vineyard for my beloved, Bekeren Ben Shamin, in the most choicest, the fattiest corner, which is a reference to Eretz Yisrael, which is the fattiest and most precious corner of the world. Vayaskeyu, and he went and he built strong cities surrounding with security, like encircling Eretz Yisrael, like a ring, where the targum of Tabas is Iska. So that's the idea of Vayaskeyu, that he encircled it. Vayasaklehu, like somebody who takes out all the different rocks and stones from his vineyard. In other words, what the nimshal is, what the explanation of the metaphor is, that he took out all the nations from Eretz Canaan, that they shouldn't be there, lest the Jewish people sin. Vayetu'ehu seirik, and he planted them seirik, which means to say that the choicest vines, and not just the branches that come up, rather the roots of the vines themselves. Vayivin migdabotoich, and he built a tower inside of it. Vigam Yakev, and also a Yakev, which is like a dug pit, Chatzev Bay, he carved out over there. So in the context of what we're describing, the Gemara explains it as follows. Vayituehu Seirik, that he planted the choicest vine, Zeh Beis HaMikdash. That's a reference to the temple, to the Beis HaMikdash, which that is the Shirish. As we said, it's not just the branches coming out, it's the root and the mainstay, which makes the Jewish people beloved in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayivin Migdal B'Toich, and he built a tower inside of it, Zemizbeach, that's a reference to the altar, which is like a large tower that's the stronghold. Vigam Yekev Chatzaboy, and they also carved out this pit inside that migdal, inside that tower. What's that a reference to? Elu HaShisen. That's a reference to the Shisen, which again, in that migdal, which is the Mizbeach, inside that is this hole, the Shisen, which is this Yekev, a pit dug in the migdal. Again, in reference to that. Although it goes down to the bottom of the world, but that was what David HaMelech had made, carving it out in the Mizbeach. That's the context of the Shisen. Now, however, this is the third opinion, Tanya Lina Braisa, that Amr Belazar Tzadik, he says, Lul Katan, there was a small little, like one would call it a skylight, which was from the top of the Mizbeach going down to the bottom. That is Hayu Ben Kevish Mizbeach. There was between the ramp and the altar itself, and that is the ramp's length was 32 amas, and it had an incline of 9 amas, which started from the bottom up until it got to the same height as the Mizbeach. Now, however, what the Gemara is explaining now is that actually the top of the ramp did not connect all the way to the Mizbeach, rather, there was a small amount of ear space that was separating them. As the Gemara says in Masechet Zvach, Daf Kav Dalam and Aleph, it says in the Pasuk, Vesisa Ilisecha, you should make your carbon oil, Habasar Vahadam, the meat and the blood. Which it sounds like it's comparing the two, which is, as the Gemara there explains, it's just like the blood has to be zrika, that has to be throwing the blood. That's the main mitzvah of a kapara of a carbon. Af basar b'zrika, also the blood, the meat has to be thrown. When do you throw meat? That's what the Gemara there explains. Obviously, that there's some gap, airspace, between the ramp and the mizbech, which is what we're calling in our Gemara being kevish l'mizbech. And that was that little space that they had to throw the meat, because you couldn't go straight, you have to go throw it over that little space between the ramp and the Mizbeach. And this was B'maravish al-Kevish. This was on the western part of the ramp, which was the 8 amis on the western part of the ramp, because the width of the ramp itself was 16 amis going from east to west. So when it's on the western part, it's half of that, which was 8 amis. Now that space was where the Nesachim would go down. In other words, when they would do the Nesachim, the libations, which was on the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, that was again, as we said, which that gap was on the western part of the ramp. So right by that corner, which was that little space between the ramp and the Mizbeach, that there was that area was surrounded by 4 walls on either side, and then there was a gap in between there, and then that would go down to the ground. Now, however, the ground, as the rest of the Azara was a floor made out of marble. And the wine was not absorbed there into the ground, as the other opinion said that it went down to the Tahaim. Rather, all the wine that was poured all throughout the year would just sit there in that hole that was going up all the way to the height of of the Mizbeach and the ramp on the top. Now, as we said, that this third opinion doesn't hold like the other ones, that the Shisan would go down to the time, as the Gemara later on will explain that actually it's arguing on the Rabbanim. The Achas L'Shiv Mishana, now once in every 70 years, Pirchei Kahuna, the young little Kahanim, they would be Yerdin L'Sham, they would go down there, they would lower themselves down into that hole, U'malachdim M'Sham Yayin Karsh, and they would gather from there this congealed wine, Shedemeli Guli Devela, which was similar to what in the times of the Talmud was called these round cakes of dried figs, which that's what ultimately the wine would become from sitting there all that time. And then they would come and burn it in a holy place in the courtyard. Now the reason why they would do this is because they would take it out from the Shisin, which again this opinion had that it went down just to the floor of the Azara, so that it shouldn't totally fill up from all the Nesachim, because essentially almost every carbon that's coming from the Tzibur or Yachid besides the Chatas and the Asham has Nesachim, so you're going to be pouring a lot of wine down there. And therefore it's going to pile up. So you're going to have to take it out so that there's room. And then they would burn it because it's forbidden to have enough from it because it's something that's Kaddish. It has sanctity. These are Nesachim. And therefore they had to clear it out. Once they cleared it out, they had to burn it in a Makam Kaddish. Shunem, like it says, a Pasuk, Idba Midbar, which talks about Nesachim as it says in Chavchaz Zayin, V'niskei Revias Ahin, and his libations will be a quarter of a hin, like Keves Echad for the one lamb. As the Gemara says, "Bakodesh haseich," that in the holy, in holiness, it should be poured nesach sheichel Hashem. It should be an intoxicating libation for Hashem. So we see, as the Gemara will explain, that there's a comparison between burning and libations and pouring. Which, as the Gemara continues, Amud Beis and says, "K'shem shenisucha b'kedusha," just like its pouring has to be in holiness, and that's the avoda of the nesachim. "Kach sreifasa b'kedusha," so to its burning, which is, as we said, after the Pirchei Kahuna would take it out, then they would go ahead and burn it. Also has to be done b'kedusha. Now, as Rashi explains, the only thing that they're learning from this pasuk is that when it's burnt, it has to be burnt b'kedusha, and not in, let's say, some other part out of the Azara, let's say in the Chayil. However, the act of that they would take it out from the Shisan, that was obvious to the Gemara and didn't need a pasuk. It's just that it shouldn't overflow because it's just going to keep on filling up, and for that they don't need a pasuk. What they're learning from a pasuk is when they would take it out, what do they do with it then? Then they burn the Makadish just like the Nesachim are done Makadish, in other words, by the Mizbeach, which is in the holy area. Now the Gemara asks, my mashma, where do you see from this pasuk anything about burning that we're saying, that we're comparing burning to the Nesachim, which says it has to be Makam Kadish? It doesn't say in the pasuk the word burning. So Rav Ravina says, Asya Kadish Kadish. You're right, it doesn't say the word burning, but it says the word Kadish. And we learn that Kadish Kadish from somewhere else. Now Rashi parenthetically says that you could also, what the Gemara is going to say right now, although we said before in the Gemara that there was one thing that we're learning out from logic, which is to empty it out, and then what we're learning out is burning. Rashi says what the Gemara is going to say now, you actually could learn out not only the burning, but even the fact that you have to take it out from there, also from this pasuk, because Ksiv Hach, it says over here, Bamidbar, Bakoydesh HaSeich Nesach, that in holiness, you should pour the libations. Ksiv Hach, it says over there in Shemais, you should burn the leftovers of fire. Lo yechel, don't eat it. Ki kodeshu, because it's holy. Now from that we see that kodesh, that it's reference to kodesh, which means to burn. So you see that the libations, not only do they have to be poured by kodesh, but since it's by kodesh, but also in the different pasuk talks about burning, you have to burn it too. Now, when are you burning the libations? That is what we learned, that obviously you have to pull it out, which that you could, not only from logic now, but because since you have to burn it, which is the second component, which has to be done by Kaidish, you obviously know you have to pull it out because there's some type of burning. And when we're burning it, only when it gets congealed, we have these cakes of wine that then you burn it and you burn the B'makam Kaidish. Now the Gemara asked the following question. Now that we have this machlokes regarding Shisan, was it made by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was Sheshem Evereshes, did David HaMelech make it, but it still went down to the time, or did it not go down to the time, and there was something that just went to the floor of the Azar? So the Gemara is Kaman Azla Ha, and the Gersa is the Tanan. Who is the following Mishnah, which is a Mishnah Me'ila going like? Which it says, Nesachim, the libations, Betchile, in the beginning, in other words, from when it was sanctified until the pouring of the libations were done, Mo'ilim Behen, there is Halacha Me'ila, because they're Kachi Gevoy, they have a Halacha of Kachim. Yardu L'shisna, however, once they go down these pipes, these holes, down to the bottom, Eim Mo'ilim Behen, then there's no more Me'ila, because since there's no more necessity of Tzarchi Gevoy, of being used in Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash, so there's no more Me'ila of Halacha of misappropriation applied to that. So basically, the Gemara's question is, which opinion would require us to tell us that Ein Mo'ilin, that there wouldn't be Me'ila once it goes down? So the Gemara says, Lema, Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddiki. Let's say it's going like the opinion of Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik, where he said the final opinion that it doesn't go down to the depths, and therefore it is possible to go ahead and get it. And that we're saying that even if you could go down, like the Pirkei Kohanim used to go down and get it, there's no me'ila, even though we said you should burn it, but it's there is and there's because there's kedusha, but there's no halacha of me'ila because the avodah was already done with it of nesachim. Because the Rabbanan, if this mishnah me'ila would be going like the opinion of the Rabbanan, meaning the first two opinions that it went down to the depths, hanachsu l'olatayim, it already went down to the depths. What do you mean that once it went down and then you go and misappropriate, you can't get it? It's already down to the depths of the world. So what would be, according to their opinion, this of Yerd L'Shisin, that you're going to have it to misappropriate it? Nothing more says, not full time Rabban. You could say it's even like Rabban. And it's talking about B'di Ikut. If you're talking about, let's say you hang a vessel down there, and you catch it on its way down, so it's ready Yerd L'Shisin, and then you grabbed it, so to speak, before it goes down to the time, that would be the halacha of there wouldn't be Me'ila because it already went down to the Shisin, the actual Avodim, the Sachem was done. Vigadama, they don't say a reverse version. That the Gemara wanted to say, Lema, let's say this, that it went, that when it says Yard L'Shisin, that E Moiladin, that if it went down to the Shisin, there's no Me'ila, actually, let's say it's Rabbanani. That if, let's say, you go ahead and you grab it on the way down, on its way down to the depths of the world, there's no Me'ila, because there's no more utility for Tzarchi Gevaya, that Vaid was done, and usually would just go into the depths, so there's nothing applying, have any application of Avaid to it, so there's no Me'ila. The lawyer Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. Actually, it cannot be Rabbi Elazar ben Tzaddik. The Rabbi Elazar, because it was Rabbi Elazar, akad b'kedusha sayu kaimi. There still has some sanctity to it, because as we quoted before, he says that surfenoisa b'kedusha, you have to burn it in a holy place. Obviously, there still has sanctity on it from the fact that you need to burn it and you can't just use it for whatever you want it. And from that fact, you should say that there still is halach of me'ila. So obviously, the mission there is not like him. I think Mar says, no, I fell to Rabbi Elazar. This version says that it could even be Rabbi Elazar. Because ein lecha davish nasa mitzvah, say you never have an item if the mitzvah was done with it. Where in the context of nesachim, the ikur mitzvah, the primary commandment of it is the libations umay lemem, to say that there would be meila. So it could be like a belaza, because although it's still has sanctity and if you have to burn the makam kaddish, but there's no meila because meila only applies before its mitzvah is done, even though it has kedusha afterwards. And therefore, since the ikur mitzvah was done here, it wouldn't apply to have meila, and therefore it could even be like a belaza. Now, related to the Nesachim, the Gemara continues, Amr Shlakish. At the time when they pour the wine, which was done generally with most karbanas, which Nisach HaMayim was that only on Sukkot, but Nesach and wine libation with most karbanas, when they were poured Agabe Mizbeach, so Paikikin es Ashisin, they would close up the Shisin. In other words, this hole that was on the top of the Mizbeach, where the Nesachim would go down to the Shisin, they would close up, they would plug up the hole, so that it should seem like that there's just wine, a pool of wine there on top of the Mizbeach, which metaphorically is like a throat that's full and satiated, and there's no, like almost gargling, there's no room for it to go down. The reason for this is, L'kayim HaShenemer, to fulfill what it says in the Pasuk, B'kodesh HaSeich Nesach Sheichel Hashem, that in holiness, they should pour the intoxicating drink to Hashem. Now, my mashma, where do we see from this pasuk that we should plug it up and it should be pooling on the top because it's calling it, you should pour shecher, intoxicating drink, which is the wine, libations to Hashem. So my papa explains that the term shecher, intoxicating drink, is a lashon shtia, it's a term of drinking. Lashon svi, it's a term of satiation. And lashon shecher is also a term of drunkenness. Now, which Amar Papa explains, which we could understand, shema minoa, what we could hear from this halacha, is kisava inesh chamra. When does a person become satiated from wine? Migraine sava. He becomes satiated from his throat. Which means to say, when he drinks large gulps of wine and his throat is full, which that's part of the metaphor, it's full and that's why we plug it up to show like almost like it's full and it's like pooling on the top, then he becomes satiated from the wine. That's when the wine works its effects on the person, but not the same as eating, where when you drink a lot, if you're sipping it slowly, that's not going to make the person satiate from the wine, which although by food it is like that, because as long as the stomach feels full, even though you ate in small little bites, but cumulatively, if it's there, you'll be satiated. By wine, it's not like that. And therefore, that's why they would plug it up to look like this sevia that's there, because by wine, actually, sevia only comes if it's big gulps and the throat is full and it's gargling on the top. Amar Rava, Rava says, Tzuvah mirabanan, a Talmud Chacham, that doesn't have a lot of wine, So like a mea gamui, he should take these big gulps. Again, the same idea, because if you want it to really work its effect, you got to take big gulps. So if you don't have a lot, just hold on and do it in short little shots. Rava, akasa de brachasa, on the cup of a bracha, agamea gamuye. He would, again, take these big gulps, which is, again, this idea of derech svi. It's a way of satiation because of the endearment of the mitzvah. It was a kushal bracha. Then he would take it in these big gulps to fulfill the same idea. Now the Gemara expounds the pasuk, which was mentioned on Amud Aleph, with regards to the Nesachim. The Gemara expounds it in a different way. Darash Rava, Rava expounds. Ma'i dechsev, what does it mean when it says in the pasuk Shir Hashirim, which we quoted the pasuk in Amud Aleph, Mayafu for Amayach Bana Olam. How beautiful are your steps and your shoes, Bas Nadiv, the daughter of the nobleman. Now the explanation is, Mayafu Pamaysein Shal Yisrael. How beautiful are the footsteps of the Jewish people, B'shosh Sha'olim L'Regel, when they do what's called Alila Regel, they come up on the three Yom Tovim to Yerushalayim, which that's the term Bana Olam, could also be read as Olim, that is, they come up. Bas Nadiv, the daughter of the Nadiv, of the noble one, that's Bita Shel Avraham Avinu. That's a daughter of Avraham Avinu, Shenikra Nadiv, who he's called the Nadiv, because that's also the word Nadiv, besides nobility, is dedication, where he had dedicated his heart to recognize his Creator. So like it says, the Pasuk in Tehillim, Nidive Am Nesafu, the noble ones of the nations, they gather together. So we see that the term of Nadiv is Am Eliki Avraham, to the nation of the God of Avraham. Now the question is, Eliki Avraham, Hashem's only the God of Avram, v'lo elikei Yitzchak v'Yaakov, not the God of the other two of us, of Yitzchak and Yaakov. It's like what we said, elikei Avram, that it's in this context, he's the God of Avram, so Yitzchil again, because he was the first of the converts. In other words, he was the first to dedicate his heart to convert, to see and recognize and bring others with him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why the Nadivim, which in this context is the Nadiv, is Avram Avinu, and that's why it's called Bas Nadiv, is a reference to having this relation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are the Jewish people of Mayafu Pamech. Tan Bei Ravanan, Maidich said, what does it mean when it says at the end of the Pasuk, Chamuki Yerechayich, which could be read either the concealed part or the roundness Yerechayich of your sides or of your flanks. Now, as Rashi explains, Ravanan expounds the Pasuk, which the end of the Pasuk says, what is this Chamuki Yerechayich is Kamoi Chaloyim, which is like jewels. He learns it like it's comparing it to the luchas, because the luchas were made out of precious stones, out of jewels, as the pasuk says in Mishlei Chafei, kamei nezim zahav chali kesem. So you see the term chaloyim are used in the context of the precious jewels that the luchas were made out of. Additionally, the end of the pasuk, it says, maisi de aman, that it's the handiwork of the craftsman, is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because as the pasuk says, Shemois Lamed Beis, v'haluchas masei elikim, that the luchas, the tablets that were given by Har Sinai, were the acts, they were the meisim, they were the handiwork of God. So therefore, he asks, and we see that this pasuk is referring to, as the end of the pasuk says, the luchas, the Torah, that it's describing it as chamuki rechayich, as the hiddenness of your sides. Lama nimshlo divrei Torah kiyarech? Why are the words of Torah, as we see that we explained, that's what the end of the pasuk is talking about, why is that compared to the thigh? So lama lecha, that's coming to tell you. And although this is a mashal, which generally that's what Shir HaShirim is, describing the beauty of the woman, which is a reference to Klal Yisrael, but it's a reference to the Torah too. Lema l'cha to tell you, Mayarech Beseset, just like the thigh is concealed, after Retar Beseset, so too the words of Torah should be concealed. And that's what the term Chamuki Yerechayech, as we describe the definition of Chamuki, is the hidden parts of, like the thigh, that's the glory of Torah, that it's concealed. Which means to say that a person shouldn't be sitting and learning at the heights of the city. He also shouldn't be teaching his students out in the marketplace, as the Gemara says, Ma'id Katan after Zainam and Aleph. So that's what the Pasuk is teaching, that the Divrei Torah, the words of Torah, should be concealed, modest, hidden away. Behind Amar Loza, this is like what Rabbi Loza had said. That Ma'idach said, what does it mean when it says a Pasuk in Micha? Higad lecha adam atav. Tell the person what's good. Ma Hashem derish mimcha. What is Hashem seeking from you? Ki'im, only these three things. Asayis mishpat, to do justice. V'yavas chesed, loving kindness. V'hasnei leches emalikecha, and to go with modesty and concealment with your God. Now, what do these three things mean? Asayis mishpat, to do justice, zehadin, this is law. V'yavas chesed, loving kindness, zugimetz chesed, these are acts of charitable kindness. V'hasnei leches emalikecha, to go with modesty with your God, That's a reference to taking out and escorting a dead person and to bringing in the bride to the canopy, to the wedding canopy, to the chuppah. Now, the reason why he's interpreting this as v'hatznei lech is to go with modesty with your God, as taking out a dead person and bringing in the kala, is because regarding these two things, we find the pasuk calls them leches, that they're going, which one's going out, one's coming in. As the pasuk says in Kehelet Zayin, toiv lo leches al beis avol, better go to a house of mourning, mi leches al beis mishnah, than to go to a house of rejoicing. So we see that, however, that both of them have a term of leches, so it's hatznei leches, lekecha, that these two things of escorting the dead and bringing in the bride should be done with tznias, with modesty, which means two pshatim Rashi. Either it means to say that when one gives a eulogy, it should be in an appropriate manner. So too, when one rejoices, it should also be an appropriate manner, not to have kalas roish, not to be too frivolous. So too, by eulogy, one's not supposed to say more than what was really some of the truth that it was by the person that passed away. And some say it's a reference to spending money for the expenses of a poor person that passed away, or for achnasas kala, for a poor girl. It should be done in tznias, and you shouldn't tell people that don't know about it that what you're going ahead and you're doing. Now, that the Gemara says the following kal v'chaymer. Well, the dvarim kal v'chaymer, then now we could definitely derive something else from logic. Uma dvarim shadarkan lasa yisayin b'farhesya. If something that normally they're done out in the public, which means when you escort a dead person, everyone comes, we make a chasna, everyone comes, yet amr tar hatznei leches, and regarding that, the Torah is telling you to go with modesty, don't make it more than it should be. If that's the case, so then dvarim shadarkan lasayis in betzina, so things which are usually done in more modest setting, in more concealed arenas, for example, giving charity to a poor person, baseser, in hiddenness, that you don't have to tell everybody that you're giving this poor person this money, whereas that's not the case usually by a dead person or by a kala, where since everyone's involved in it, people know who's the expenses, who's paying all the money. So halachas kama v'kama, most definitely in those cases, which that's where Belaz is saying that for sure all these things need to have modesty, and therefore that same thing applies as the Gemara was bringing this halacha for divrei Torah, which are things also which should be done b'tzina and not lifnei'am ve'edim in front of everybody. Related to this, another statement, Omer Belaza from Belaza says, Gadol Eisa Tzedakah, greater is the one that does charity, Yisim Mekol HaKabonis, than bringing all the sacrifices. Shlomo says the Pasuk in Mishlei, Asoy Tzedakah Mish, but do charity and justice. Nivchal Hashem Yizavach, it's better to Hashem than Karbonis. Now, because all Karbonis are included in in the term Zavach, Chatas, Asham, Oyle, Shlom, they're all called Zavach. And therefore, you see that Hashem desires Tzedakah more than all the Zavachim, all the Karbonis. Related to this, from Amr Belaza, another statement from Belaza, it says, "G'day l'gimilas chasadim." However, greater is acts of kindness, yesim in that tzedakah, than charity. It's not like it says the pasuk in Hosea, "Ziru lechem l'tzedakah." You should plan for yourselves charity, kitzru l'fi chesed, and you'll reap based on the kindness. Now, so we see that the pasuk is calling tzedakah zriya, planting, and calling chesed katzer, which is reaping. Now, as the Gemara will explain, there's a better dimension for reaping than planting, because im adam zeriyah, if a person plants something, safek oichel, safek en oichel, there's doubtful if he'll be able to eat from it or not. Maybe it won't sprout. Maybe the elements will destroy it before something happens. However, adam kaitzu, when someone's reaping, then vada oichel, for sure he's going to eat. So you see that it was better what was said regarding chesed than tzedakah, because chesed is considered like katsira, and tzedakah is like zeriya. Now, Amar Belazar, Belazar explains this. The nimshal, what does the metaphor mean? Why is that? He says, "Ein tzedakah mishtalemes elafi chesed shabah." The pay, which is so to speak the katsira of tzedakah, of charity, is only according to the kindness that goes into that. In other words, because the giving is the charity, but the effort is the kindness. For example, if let's say you bring it to his house, or the effort you go through that he should have a lot. For example, if let's say you're giving him baked bread, or you actually giving him clothing to wear. In other words, you bring it, you do the effort, you go the extra mile that it should work out for him, or you only give him money at the time when there's going to be grain so that he shouldn't spend it and lose it on other things. You really think about the poor person. You want it to work out for him. You don't just give him the money. That's actually how the payout is for the charity, how much chesed went into that. Shnemlik says, Napasik, ziru lechem letzdaka, plant for yourself charity, again, like the the planting is charity, that you should plant it so that you should reap to get reward. That is a kitzur lefi chesed. You reap that based on the kindness that you'll receive a reward based on how much chesed went into the tzedakah. Tarmalin abraisa. B'shleisha dvarim gedel gemilas chesedim yosim in the tzedakah. We said that gemilas chesed is greater than charity. Now this braisa says in three different ways acts of kindness are greater than charity. First of all, tzedakah b'memayne. Charity is only with one's money. Gemilas chesedim, however, acts of kindness are bein begufay. They could be whether with a person's body, for example, with the person's self, where if he eulogizes a dead person, or he carries his coffin, or he makes a groom happy, or if he escorts his friend on the road. And it's also bein b'mayne. It could also be with one person's money. If he lends him money, or if he lends him his utensils, or his animal. Tzedakah l'aniyim, charity is only for poor people. Gemilas chasadim, but acts of kindness, are bein l'aniyim, bein l'ashim, are both for the wealthy and for the poor. Tzedakah l'chaim, charity is only for those who are alive. Gemilas chasadim, acts of kindness, are bein l'chaim, bein l'meisim, is whether for people that are alive, or even for those who have already passed away. V'amar Blaza, another statement related from Blaza. Kalaisa tzedakah u'mishpat, whoever does charity and justice, ki'ilu mila kol ha'olam kulei chesed, as if he filled up the entire world with kindness. Shem like says the pasuk in Tehillim, Oyiv tzedakah mishpat, he loves charity and justice, chesed Hashem al aretz, the kindness of Hashem fills up the whole world. So you see, if you do tzedakah mishpat, it's like the whole world is filled up with the chesed. Now, Shema Toimer, now maybe you're going to say, Kalabolik fights, whoever comes to jump and to do this tzedakah, charity, and chesed, then kaifetz, he could jump, and Hashem will provide for the person a way, proper people, to fulfill tzedakah and chesed that he wants to do. Tamalim, that's a pasuk teaching, and tell him that no. My yakar chazda chalehem. How precious is your kindness, Hashem? Now, yakar could also mean precious, it could also mean that it's hard to find, which a person has to really think about it and put in a lot of effort to pursue tzedakah and chesed because it's not so easily found to find appropriate candidates for the tzedakah and the charity you want to do. Now, as the pasuk there concludes, now, yachal af yirishamayim kein, you would think that the same thing applies to someone that has the fear of heaven, that for him, it would also be challenging to find appropriate candidates for tzedakah and chesed. Tamalim, as the pasuk teaches, tell him that no. The chesed Hashem, the kindness of Hashem is forever on those who fear Him. If you have a true Yerushalayim, you will find the appropriate candidates for your tzedakah and chesed. I think Rambam brings a different interpretation in that pasuk that we just quoted. Any person that has kindness upon him, he has a certain grace, be a Jewish or Yerushalayim, you definitely know that he has fear of heaven. Shlomo says in that pasuk, Chesed Hashem, Me'olam Ad Olam Yireiv, the kindness of Hashem is always upon those who fear Him. And therefore, if you see someone that has grace, obviously he fears heaven. From Rabbi Elazar, another statement from Rabbi Elazar, says, Magdich said, what does it mean in the pasuk of Mishlei? Piha Pascha v'chachma. Her mouth opens with wisdom, V'teres Chesed al Hashoina, and the Torah, the law of kindness, is on her tongue. Now, the question is there a Torah of kindness? And there's a Torah not of kindness? What does it mean, a Torah of chesed? So there's two pshat in the Gemara. El Torah l'shma, when one learns Torah for its sake, zui Torah shel chesed, that's a Torah of kindness. Shalai l'shma, but if he learns it not for its own sake, zui Torah she'ena shel chesed, that's a Torah not of chesed, not of kindness. Ikud amin, they don't say a different version. Torah l'lamda, when you learn Torah to teach it to others, zui Torah shel chesed, that's a Torah of kindness, because you're learning Torah, but it's also used in the medium of kindness, of teaching it to others. Shalai l'lamda, but if you're learning it not to teach it to others, zuhi Torah she'ena shel chesed, that's a Torah that's not of chesed, and that's what the praise was being said in Mishlei, in the song of Eish Hayil, which is Torah's chesed al-lashayna, that it's not only just Torah, but it's a Torah of kindness, of teaching others that are al-lashayna.